Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Jacob chapter 5 is easily the longest chapter in the Book of Mormon, and it's one long quote from a prophet named Zenos. Zenos has been referenced a couple times previously. Nephi quoted him a couple times prophesying of the coming of Christ. This is not a prophet we otherwise have a record of. Apparently, he was recorded on the brass plates, I'm going to guess, that Nephi and his family brought out of Jerusalem. So probably Old Testament era, certainly sometime before 600 BC when Lehi and his family left Jerusalem. But I don't know when exactly. I don't know where he spoke or who he was speaking to. But chapter 5 is a lengthy, we call it the allegory of the olive tree. And it comes to us from the prophet Zenos. So Jacob, at the end of chapter 4, was prophesying about the Jews rejecting Christ and then coming to recognize him as the Savior. And he asks, "And now, my beloved, how is it possible that these, after having rejected the sure foundation, can ever build upon it, that it may become the head of their corner?" And then he says he'll unfold this mystery. And that brings us right into chapter 5. So let's jump into verse 1. "Behold, my brethren, do you not remember to have read the words of the prophet Zenos, which he spake unto the house of Israel, saying, Hearken, O ye house of Israel, and hear the words of me, a prophet of the Lord. For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will liken thee, O house of Israel, like unto a tame olive tree, which a man took and nourished in his vineyard, and it grew and waxed old and began to decay. And it came to pass that the master of the vineyard went forth, and he saw that his olive tree began to decay. And he said, I will prune it, and dig about it, and nourish it, that perhaps it may shoot forth young and tender branches, and it perish not. And it came to pass that he pruned it, and digged about it, and nourished it according to his word. And it came to pass that after many days it began to put forth somewhat a little young and tender branches. But behold, the main top thereof began to perish. And it came to pass that the master of the vineyard saw it, and he said unto his servant, It grieveth me that I should lose this tree. Wherefore, go and pluck the branches from the wild olive tree, and bring them hither unto me. And we will pluck off those main branches which are beginning to wither away, and we will cast them into the fire, that they may be burned. And behold, saith the Lord of the vineyard, I take away many of these young and tender branches, and I will graft them whithersoever I will. And it mattereth not that if it so be the root of this tree will perish, I may preserve the fruit thereof unto myself. Wherefore I will take these young and tender branches, and I will graft them whithersoever I will." So this guy, this vineyard owner, has an olive tree. It gets old. It's starting to decay. So he prunes it and nourishes it. I don't know a lot about tending to olive trees, but apparently they're pretty complicated bushes to keep alive. But he cares for it, and it does sprout forth some new, young, tender branches. But the bulk of the tree, it sounds like, is not doing well still. So he's going to cut off those young branches and plant them in various places of his vineyard. This is a pretty classic scattering of Israel imagery here. And we've seen again and again that Nephi and Jacob and Lehi and all these guys love to talk about the scattering and gathering of Israel. So that's probably what this is talking about. So, Lord of the vineyard, still talking to his servant in verse 9. "Take thou the branches of the wild olive tree and graft them in the stead thereof. And these which I have plucked off, I will cast into the fire and burn them, that they may not cumber the ground of my vineyard." So after the Lord of the vineyard takes off these young tender branches and goes and plants them elsewhere, the servant of the vineyard is taking branches from a wild olive tree and grafting them in. Verse 10, "And it came to pass that the servant of the Lord of the vineyard did according to the word of the Lord of the vineyard and grafted in the branches of the wild olive tree. And the Lord of the vineyard caused that it should be digged about and pruned and nourished, saying unto his servant, It grieveth me that I should lose this tree. Wherefore, that perhaps I might preserve the roots thereof, that they perish not, that I might preserve them unto myself, I have done this thing. Wherefore, go thy way, watch the tree and nourish it according to my words. And these, the tender branches he cut off, will I place in the nethermost part of my vineyard, whithersoever I will, it mattereth not unto thee. And I do it that I may preserve unto myself the natural branches of the tree, and also that I may lay up fruit thereof against the season unto myself, for it grieveth me that I should lose this tree and the fruit thereof. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard went his way and hid the natural branches of the tame olive tree in the nethermost parts of the vineyard, some in one and some in another, according to his will and pleasure. And it came to pass that a long time passed away. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, Come, let us go down into the vineyard, that we may labor in the vineyard. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard, and also the servant, went down into the vineyard to labor. And it came to pass that the servant said unto his master, Behold, look here, behold the tree. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard looked and beheld the tree in the which the wild olive branches had been grafted. And it had sprung forth and begun to bear fruit. And he beheld that it was good, and the fruit thereof was like unto the natural fruit. So this is success, right? We took the, cut off all the new young branches from this olive tree, and then grafted in branches from a wild olive tree, which apparently, we'll see as time goes on, apparently wild olive trees don't make edible fruit. But the wild branches grafted into the old tree are bringing forth good fruit, like unto the natural fruit. Verse 18. And he said unto the servant, Behold, the branches of the wild tree have taken root of the moisture of the root thereof, and the root thereof hath brought forth much strength. And because of the much strength of the root thereof, the wild branches have brought forth tame fruit. Now, if we had not grafted in these branches, the tree thereof would have perished. And now, behold, I shall lay up much fruit, which the tree thereof hath brought forth. And the fruit thereof I shall lay up against the season unto mine own self. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, Come, let us go to the nethermost part of the vineyard, and behold, if the natural branches of the tree have not brought forth much fruit also, that I may lay up of the fruit thereof against the season unto mine own self. So now they're going to go check out those young tender branches the Lord of the vineyard cut off and took to different places in his vineyard to plant as new trees. Verse 20, And it came to pass that they went forth whither the master had hid the natural branches of the tree. And he said unto the servant, Behold these. And he beheld the first that it had brought forth much fruit. And he beheld also that it was good. And he said unto the servant, Take of the fruit thereof, and lay it up against the season, that I may preserve it unto mine own self. For behold, said he, this long time have I nourished it, and it hath brought forth much fruit. So here's one of the branches that the Lord of the vineyard planted in a place, and it has brought forth a lot of fruit. It's doing really good. Verse 21, And it came to pass that the servant said unto his master, How comest thou hither to plant this tree, or this branch of the tree? For behold, it was the poorest spot in all the land of thy vineyard. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto him, Counsel me not. I knew that it was a poor spot of ground. Wherefore I said unto thee, I have nourished it this long time, and thou beholdest that it hath brought forth much fruit. Now, I know this is talking about scattering and gathering of Israel, and so this branch of the tree is probably meant to represent some portion of the house of Israel that ended up in the poorest spot of land. I don't know what that would be, but some unsavory place, and yet prospered there. And that's great, but a lot of the symbolism we see in Scripture can be applied in multiple ways, at least I feel like it can, and when I read these verses, they really hurt my heart a little bit, because I feel like I've known people, individual people, who are just good souls that are born into really unfortunate circumstances, and it's really easy for us mere mortals to wonder, like, how could a loving God ever put such a good person in such horrible circumstances, you know? But I love the words of the Lord of the vineyard here, which is, you know, hey, I knew it was a bad spot, and that's why I took such good care of it. And I think there's got to be a pretty important lesson there somewhere. Verse 23, And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, Look hither, behold, I have planted another branch of the tree also. And thou knowest that this spot of ground was poorer than the first. So this is even worse than what the servant called the poorest spot of ground. But behold the tree, I have nourished it this long time, and it hath brought forth much fruit. Therefore gather it, and lay it up against the season, that I may preserve it unto mine own self. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said again unto his servant, Look hither, and behold another branch also which I have planted. Behold that I have nourished it also, and it hath brought forth much fruit. And he said unto the servant, Look hither, and behold the last. Behold, this have I planted in a good spot of ground, and I have nourished it this long time, and only a part of the tree hath brought forth tame fruit, and the other part of the tree hath brought forth wild fruit. Behold, I have nourished this tree like unto the others. So again, some people are put in very good, blessed, prosperous circumstances, and they don't bring forth a lot of good fruit. Again, I know we're talking about branches of the house of Israel here, but I can't help but see application to individual people I have known in my life. Verse 26, And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, Pluck off the branches that have not brought forth good fruit, and cast them into the fire. But behold, the servant said unto him, Let us prune it, and dig about it, and nourish it a little longer, that perhaps it may bring forth good fruit unto thee, that thou canst lay it up against the season. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and the servant of the Lord of the vineyard did nourish all the fruit of the vineyard. And it came to pass that a long time had passed away. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, Come, let us go down into the vineyard, that we may labor again in the vineyard. For behold, the time draweth near, and the end soon cometh. Wherefore I must lay up fruit against the season unto mine own self. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and the servant went down into the vineyard, and they came to the tree whose natural branches had been broken off, and the wild branches had been grafted in. And behold, all sorts of fruit did cumber the tree. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard did taste of the fruit, every sort according to its number. And the Lord of the vineyard said, Behold, this long time have we nourished this tree, and I have laid up unto myself against the season much fruit. But behold, this time it hath brought forth much fruit, and there is none of it which is good. And behold, there are all kinds of bad fruit, and it profiteth me nothing, notwithstanding all our labor. And now it grieveth me that I should lose this tree. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, What shall we do unto this tree, that I may preserve again good fruit thereof unto myself? And the servant said unto his master, Behold, because thou didst graft in the branches of the wild olive tree, they have nourished the roots, that they are alive, and they have not perished. Wherefore thou beholdest that they are yet good. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, The tree profiteth me nothing, and the roots thereof profit me nothing, so long as it shall bring forth evil fruit. Nevertheless, I know that the roots are good, and for mine own purpose I have preserved them. And because of their much strength, they have hitherto brought fruit from the wild branches, good fruit. But behold, the wild branches have grown and have overrun the root thereof. And because that the wild branches have overcome the roots thereof, it hath brought forth much evil fruit. And because of that, it hath brought forth so much evil fruit that thou beholdest that it beginneth to perish. And it will soon become ripened, that it may be cast into the fire, except we should do something for it to preserve it. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, Let us go down into the nethermost parts of the vineyard, and behold if the natural branches have brought forth evil fruit also. So this original tree, which they cut branches off of and then grafted in wild branches, it's now bringing forth this wild fruit, which is not good. All kinds of bad fruit, the Lord of the vineyard says. And now the Lord and his servant are going to go check out the other trees that were planted elsewhere and see how they're doing. And it came, verse 39, and it came to pass that they went down into the nethermost parts of the vineyard, and it came to pass that they beheld that the fruit of the natural branches had become corrupt also. Yea, the first and the second and also the last, they had all become corrupt. And the wild fruit of the last had overcome that part of the tree which brought forth good fruit, even that the branch had withered away and died. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard wept and said unto his servant, What could I have done more for my vineyard? Behold, I knew that all the fruit of the vineyard, save it were these, had become corrupted. And now these which have once brought forth good fruit have become corrupted. And now all the trees of my vineyard are good for nothing, save it be to be hewn down and cast into the fire. And behold, this last, whose branch hath withered away, I did plant it in a good spot of ground, yea, even that which was choice unto me above all other parts of the land of my vineyard. And thou beholdest that I also cut down that which cumbered this spot of ground, that I might plant the tree in the stead thereof. So it's pretty easy, given what we know about the Book of Mormon, to jump to the conclusion, perhaps correctly, I don't know, that this tree, this last one that was planted in this choice spot of ground, that brought forth some good and some bad fruit originally, and then the bad fruit overcame the good fruit, and the whole thing withered away. This could be the Nephites and the Lamanites, right? The Book of Mormon record we're talking about, they were brought to a choice land, they became part good, part bad, and we know already from some spoilers Nephi gave us due to a vision he saw, that by the end of the Book of Mormon, they'll all be destroyed. So that's a pretty good interpretation. It also mentions, thou beholdest that I cut down that which cumbered this spot of ground. So there were things in the ground there before, and the Lord cut them down, and planted this new branch there. We will learn later that that is true of the Nephites and the Lamanites. It could also be true of other places. It seems, you know, in the Old Testament, when the Jews were brought to the original Promised Land, you know, they had to run out of town and kill the people who were there. This is sort of a recurring pattern in Jewish history. And so could be lots of different people, but I think the easiest and most common interpretation here is that that tree is the Nephites and the Lamanites. Verse 45, And thou beholdest that a part thereof brought forth good fruit, and a part thereof brought forth wild fruit. And because I plucked not the branches thereof and cast them into the fire, behold, they have overcome the good branch that it hath withered away. And now, behold, notwithstanding all the care which we have taken of my vineyard, the trees thereof have become corrupted, and they bring forth no good fruit. And these I had hoped to preserve, to have laid up fruit thereof against the season unto mine own self. But behold, they have become like unto the wild olive tree, and they are of no worth but to be hewn down and cast into the fire. And it grieveth me that I should lose them. But what could I have I done more in my vineyard? Have I slackened my hand that I have not nourished it? Nay, I have nourished it, and I have digged about it, and I have pruned it, and I have dunged it, and I have stretched forth mine hand almost all the day long, and the end draweth nigh, and it grieveth me that I should hew down all the trees of my vineyard and cast them into the fire that they should be burned. Who is it that hath corrupted my vineyard? So this is about the middle point of this really long chapter, and that's where we're going to call it for today. Tomorrow we'll pick up and finish it off.